Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome. We are glad you are on board today. We start right out with Packers football. We'll get away from the ugliness that was the Brewers offense yesterday. And welcome to the program. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zinzola across the way. We bring in now the television voice on the Packers football network. Also a guy that you hear in Westwood One. You hear him all over the place doing college hoops, pro hoops, you name it. Kevin Harlan now joining us. Kevin, how you been, buddy?
I've been great. Good morning, Bill. Great to be on with you.
How is Door County?
Door County has never been busier and never been better. I think every room is filled. Every restaurant has got a waiting list. But there's so much to do. And the great part of it is just across the water here on 570 AM WMAM, I can listen to you guys every single day.
Oh, that is awesome. That's a hell of a shout out. Hey, by the way, while we're getting the congratulatories and the hellos out of the way, our buddy, our newest program director and director of network operations, by the way, Mitch Rosen says hello.
Dude, that's terrific. Mitch is a longtime family friend, longtime personal friend, and one of the best people in this business. So I say congratulations to him, and lucky for all you folks to work with him.
He's absolutely
terrific. He's a great, great national radio name.
Let me ask you this. All this that's being made about Aaron and not playing in the preseason so far, how much stock do you put into this?
Well, he says he doesn't need to take preseason in-game snaps to be available for week one. It's a little bit different, of course, because there's a new coach and a new system and a new language. It is a new verbiage that they've had to work with. Of course, you know, we know one of the smartest people any of us have ever interviewed before has been Aaron. He's just incredibly bright and can get anything so quickly. So for him, it's probably not that big an issue. To me, from the outside looking in, it's the tempo and the rhythm and all the things that are built into this offense that has been kind of moved around from Mike Shanahan to Kyle Shanahan to Sean McVay and now to Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor at the Bengals, that it relies a great deal on up-tempo and precision and acting as one. And the only time they've had a chance to do that is in practice. But as any quarterback will tell you, and Rodgers at the very head of the class in that conversation, that what we're seeing in the preseason is so vanilla and so basic and basically is done to try out different guys individually at different positions, in different schemes, and in different situations. It really does not get to the core of what your offense or your defense is all about. So I think from an offensive perspective, what Aaron is saying is true. You know, perhaps, I think there was a story today maybe in the Journal Sentinel about playing in week one when you know the field conditions, you know the opponent, you know the home crowd, everything is set for maybe a series or two just to work in some of the ways that this offense will, and then have the rest of the preseason to kind of work out the kinks and in practice, and then go from there, get an early taste of it. But they chose not to do that, and that's kind of the norm. So anyway, it does certainly, I think, add to a little bit of intrigue come September 5th at Soldier Field and how it's going to play out initially as it debuts in Chicago against the Bears.
What has stood out to you? I mean, there's a lot of things usually we look at, and there's these big stories in camp, and you're hearing so many other teams that are going through more turmoil than anything, but this camp has been somewhat quiet. The defense has, for the most part, been better than the offense. I know the offense keeps saying, hey, we're just getting into a rhythm. But what has stood out to you? Because, Kevin, people ask me all the time, why are they going to be better? And that's a great question, because they didn't really upgrade a ton of personnel for starters on the offensive side of the ball. Is it just scheme alone that's going to stand out and go, wow, now this offense begins to really roll?
Well, I would think that the number one thing for any GM and head coach is to make sure the back half of your roster is strong. Because, as we know, these teams, with all the different injuries they go through, are using 60, 65, 70 players at one time on their roster. Guys are jumping off and on from the practice squad, off the street, they're signed, whatever. So you're constantly dealing with revolving cast of characters, and sometimes even as starters, with your roster. So these games, to me, and the importance of them really lie in, you know, how deep and how effective are you going to build that practice squad? How good and effective will those last 5 to 7 guys on your roster be? And how easily will they be able to maneuver into a role of prominence on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whenever they're playing? And I would think that that's kind of what preseason has become, because no one is showing their hand in the preseason. Everyone is scared to death of injuries. And they want to make sure that if you're spending all this money and all these players, that there's some kind of a controlled feel to it, and that happens in practice. And that's when you show a lot of your cards. You show, and the defensive coordinator is trying to help his defense, but helping the offense see different looks and some complexity that you're not going to see in a preseason game. But the preseason is, I think now, is until it changes, and I hope it does, I think it's designed now more than anything else to find out what the back half of your roster looks like, who the third or fourth guy is going to be at a certain position, and how strong that practice squad can be that can be used to elevate guys as injuries, which are always going to happen, occur during the regular season. And I know it's not very sexy, and it's not fun for a lot of people to watch. For people who love pro football, it's a fascinating process what these guys go through, but a little bit dull, to be quite honest, and doesn't reveal a whole lot in what that team is going to be in the coming season.
How do you think, because I was saying the other day, after that first preseason game when Matt LaFleur was hit with a lot of questions about Aaron Rodgers and not playing, and Aaron's comments about, you know, not wanting the joint practices and such, I thought he did a magnificent job in saying, look, I understand Aaron can be a little bit bored because he can be extremely intelligent and get it, and he's a veteran, he doesn't need the reps. But then he went on to say, but the other 10 guys around him need to, and they need to get on the same page with him. I thought he's handled himself from the time he's had an opening presser to the time I've seen him out there as a coach to the time that I've seen him now command a press conference, a media session. He's grown exponentially.
Bill, I would agree. I would tell you that Rich Gannon and I for CBS had the Titans last year probably 3 or 4 times throughout the regular season. And we always talked to both coordinators, head coach, quarterback, and a couple players every session before the game. And Matt was incredibly guarded every time we talked to him. Congenial and nice, but he was certainly grouped into that Kyle Shanahan, Zach Taylor, that young new coach, Sean McVay, kind of this new wave of offensive philosophy and thinking. And the trust now that I think that owners have with the younger coach was evident with McVay, and of course that's triggered all these other hirings. So I don't know if that was Mike Vrabel and the Patriot way of never showing your hand, but we never got really a lot of information about Marcus Mariota or anything about their team. And by the way, it took about mid-season until they actually kind of clicked in Tennessee offensively, and it really happened when the running game got going. And when Derrick Henry began to run, when they got that running game going, that team was different the second half of the season. That being said, I've met with him one time face-to-face for over a half hour. To me, seemed almost like a completely different guy. Incredibly confident, knows what he wants to do, has enthusiastic assistants, I think relies on the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, a great deal. That's going to be a wonderful relationship. I think he and Aaron, who are only separated by 3.5 years in age, are very much on the same page. I think that, Rodgers, and this is not a knock on Mike, because McCarthy and what he did, those 13 years, there was a lot of good. In fact, most of it was good, and the offense in particular was good. But sometimes, as we find, even with radio stations we may work with or offices we work within, you know, the message can get stale, or the quarterback needs new challenges in this case, and maybe a new way of looking at things, and maybe to protect himself a little bit more, because as we know, there was so much off schedule and a lot of working outside the pocket, and Aaron was exposed. He was. Now he's 35, soon to be 36. And he's kind of at a different stage. And not saying that Mike wouldn't have changed things to do that. I'm sure he began doing that last couple of years, knowing how invaluable Rodgers was to the offense. But I do think that Zach, if anything, has given Aaron kind of a fresh, new, more engaged look at the offense. There's no doubt that he's going to revert to what he did under Mike. I mean, there's no question that he's going to be up there, and he's going to sometimes take it in his own hands and revert to what he did, where he was so effective. But what this might do is keep him in the pocket, get the receivers open a little bit more, maybe avoid some hits, keep the tempo up. Rodgers has said, this is the kind of offense I want to play in. It seems good, and it seems like the head coach and the quarterback, and that's the most important relationship you have in that building, regardless of what anybody else is, and owner, president, it is the head coach and the quarterback, and as long as they are on the same page, and it certainly appears these two are, that is about the best thing you can take out of this camp when things are new and a lot of opinions are being formed.
Talking with Kevin Harlan from CBS, also the Packers Television Network. Kevin, before I let you go, so just looking around the rest of the division, we all believe, at least talent depth-wise, that Chicago is probably the team, albeit we're going to wait and see if Mitch Trubisky can take that next step. And then the Minnesota Vikings and Zimmer, they got a ton of pressure on them. How do you see this division right now?
Incredibly equal. I don't know if there's one team that's especially better than the other, but I would tell you that I think that it may be, from top to bottom, the most balanced and even division in pro football. I've got to believe that Matt Patricia will do more in his second year with the Lions. We know where the Bears were a year ago and how good they were, and Matt Nagy, their head coach, who I respect immensely, got that job as a young guy, much like Matt LaFleur, and has done wonders there and changed the culture, which needed some changing. And in Minnesota, we know that they are strong, and that Kirk Cousins has got to be better in his second year than he was in his first. So I think this division, top to bottom, will be very balanced. The only other division that might come close to this is the West, the AFC West, where the Chargers, Chiefs, and the Broncos, I think, will all be right in the pack. And the Raiders have got to be more improved. They seem to be more improved, and I just think in the second year in that system. So we're seeing, I think, much more balanced. There's no dominant team. I think that, and everything, as we know, rests on the health of all four quarterbacks in the North. Everything rests with those guys. If they stay healthy, it's going to be an incredibly compelling season in this division alone, if nothing else, and that's going to be worth watching.
Well, enjoy the last few weeks of Door County, because after that, it all gets cranking, pal. We'll talk to you soon and see you soon, okay?
Bill, nice to be out. Thank you. Take care.
Hey, by the way, real quick, you know your call that is so infamous now with the gentleman that was a little inebriated running down the field with the bare chest? Yeah. That is now a thing. A buddy of mine was on, Lake Cumberland, down near Tennessee, and said that's their thing. That's their call. If they see somebody that's a little bit overserved, we'll say, they shout out your quote. Blue hat, bare-chested blue hat. That's their code for somebody's had a little bit too much. He said, hey, if you have Kevin Harlan on, if you ever see him, let him know. I'm like, he's on tomorrow. So
oh,
you are now infamous in that call. So I just wanted you to know.
I don't know if I'm proud or sad. But,
All right, pal, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
There you go. That is Kevin Harlan joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. Call him 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. I lost my complete train of thought there for a second. Go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRIDE, call him. Great Kevin Harlan. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
For over 45 years, they've been serving up made-to-order subs hot off the grill, and they've been grilling them up for a long, long time, such as the cheesesteak, the Phillies, the bacon cheddars, the bacon mushroom Swiss, and the now infamous pepperoni melt. The Bill Michaels. Extra mayo, extra cheese. Oh, so good. Served in that freshly baked bread. That is Cousin Subs. That's what they do. That's how they do it. Tremendous. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Go to CousinSubs.com to order your own. Or you can stop in. And don't forget, if you do order online or give them a call, they also have delivery at some select locations now. So get it dropped right off. Now we don't have to get out of your robe. Just laying in bed going, I want me a sub sandwich. Bring it on in. Get the cheese curds, the fries, the chips, that cookie. Oh, so good. Oh, so good. That is our friends at Cousin Subs. Hey, the backup quarterback situation in Green Bay. I guess the best way to put it is the situation hasn't cleared itself up. It hasn't gotten any better. The depth chart hasn't gotten emphatic, if you will. Okay? So you look at what's going on in Green Bay and you say, okay, things have not gotten, in this next upcoming game, things have not gotten clearer. You're looking for clarity. You're looking for DeShone Kizer. You're looking for something better. And we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Also, I told you, I said I didn't want to start out talking Brewers baseball. Last night, shut out for 5-6 innings. It just, I guess the positive was Zach Davies threw the ball extremely well. The offense completely shut down. And didn't we just get done saying this? And there were some people that were really, oh, you're crazy. And I said, no, I'm not. This is what happens. The Brewers will win 5 out of 6. You'll be just rolling. Just rolling. You'll think, okay, here you go. Here we finally go. They're starting to take off. And then, lo and behold, it just goes into the tank. It just goes down to tubes. And that's kind of where you're at right now if you're a Brewers fan, because you were just on the mountain, you were coming up the hill, and now they lost the last one to the Rangers, they lost one to the Twins, they ended up losing 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, and they lost to the Cards. Just so frustrating. 2-5 in their last 7 games. 2-5 in the last 7 games after reeling off 5 straight. And that was after coming out of the 4 straight losses from the A's and then getting swept by the Cubs. This is what the season is. So if you're talking about a team that's consistently playing up and down, bounce around baseball, I go back to yesterday when we discussed, now they're 3 games back now. You fall 4 games back, 5 games back. 5 games back, it's pretty much put a nail in them. And I know people don't want to hear that. People are going to come out of the woodwork going, you said that last year, and I did. But last year, you have to admit, last year had a different chemistry, a different magic to it. You always were a believer going into the very last inning that this team was going to pull it out. And a lot of the times, you were right. This year, not so much. Not so much. Although they have had success beyond the 7th inning, more so than most teams in Major League Baseball, it hasn't culminated. The magic just doesn't seem to be there. You got a guy in Lorenzo Cain. I was listening this morning to Adam McAlvey, and we're going to hear from Adam, by the way, coming up after the top of the hour. But for the first time in a long time, he's kind of indicated that there's a left knee issue with Lorenzo Cain. And hopefully that is only this season, and he can rehab it in the offseason and bounce back and be strong next year. But that's where we're kind of at. We're looking towards, well, at least raising one eye into the air going, okay, what's over there, looking at next season. Because I think there's a lot of people that are, they still have an opportunity. They still have everything ahead of them. They still have a lot of games between the Cubs and the Cardinals. Last night was a disappointment. Hey, if you win 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals now and you climb back to winning a couple, okay. You can see that. Heck, if you win the next 2 and the Cubs lose as well, you're within a game. So you're right back in it. All is not lost. So I'm not jumping off the bridge. I'm not saying there's a giant bucket of cold water on the season because they're only 3 games back and still a lot of opportunity here. But the offense has to be more consistent. The offense has to carry this team. The shame of it is that they wasted some games in which the offense was just smoking hot because the pitching was just that damn bad. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Admirals50 hotline, you can. Also hit us up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. Over on the Facebook fan page, go to facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Look for the blue check mark there. Bill Michaels at BillMichaelsSports.com. And BillMichaelsSports.com is the website. Radio.com is the way to take us everywhere and listen to us. And there's so much Radio.com sports on there now, it's not even funny. They got brilliant podcasts and a lot of other programming, not just us, but we highly recommend that you favorite us, and that way we pop up anywhere and everywhere right there in your pocket. But how concerned are you now with the Brewers? For the people that were back on the jumping off the bandwagon last night, I just said, hey, caution. Because this team, within a couple of wins, can climb right back into this, be a game back, and then they got their dogfight on their hands. They just need to win. You know, I mean, I know it's master of the obvious, and they need to hit better, they need to play better, but the offense is going to carry them. I can't imagine this team going on a prolonged drought, offensively speaking. And oh, by the way, speaking of guys that are not on that prolonged drought, holy mackerel, Keston Hiura has just been on fire. Fire. Now, we know you're always going to get Christian Yelich. You're always going to get, you know, your mainstays. And you're depending on a few others, obviously, to be able to kind of light the lamp, so to speak, using a hockey vernacular. But you need right now, you really just need something out of Lorenzo Cain. Christian Yelich is hitting .334. Keston Hiura is hitting .307. With Keston Hiura hitting .307 with 231 at-bats. Think about that. 16 doubles, 3 triples, and 14 dingers. He has just been phenomenal since he came up. I mean, heck, Ryan Braun's given you .283. He's been hot as of late. Moustakas, his numbers are up a little bit. So, Grandal, he really cooled off. He was hitting well over .300 for a long time earlier this season, and he really has just kind of come back to earth. But still, .256 is so far better than the .223 of Manny Pena for the numbers that Grandal has put up versus Manny Pena. Pena's, although he's hit better as of late, but in the grand scheme of things, obviously, Yasmani Grandal has been better. Ben Gamel gave you a shot in the arm early on this season. He has cooled off. Eric Thames' numbers have really just stayed steady. His power numbers have been the same. But you just need a little something more out of this group. Just a little, and I'm not talking like Christian Yelich needs to give you something. I'm saying you get a little more out of Lorenzo Cain, a little more out of Moustakas, a little more out of Yasmani Grandal. He gets hot again, and things could change. Orlando Arcia is the one that's disappointing because he got off to I'm not going to say a hot start, but a better start for him historically, and then has just cooled off dramatically, only hitting .228 right now, .661 OPS, just... The numbers overall just aren't good, and the defense has been there, but it's been more porous this year than in years past. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal. We'll talk some Badgers, talk a little Packers. I know Tom's been up at Packers training camp as well. We'll get into that. Tom Oates of the State Journal joining us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Reminder coming up that tomorrow night, Wednesday Night Live is back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. Hope to see you out there. You've got a huge contingent of Harley-Davidson dealers. The International Harley-Davidson Dealer Convention is in Milwaukee. You've got a big bike night tomorrow night. You've got Music Under the Stars tomorrow night. Looks like it's going to be a pretty picture-perfect evening out at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion. Hope to see you out there tonight or tomorrow night, and then next Wednesday as well. That is our charity night, and that is the kind of the reemergence of the original toys. So they're going to be on the stage. Should be a big, big night if the weather's good out there. Looking forward to it, so come on out to the Budweiser Pavilion, all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us now from the Wisconsin State Journal, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our buddy Tom Oates. Oatsy, how you been, pal?
Real good. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. I guess just kind of waiting for things to culminate. We've got things out in Madison. Let's start there with Quintez Cephas being readmitted to the team and, obviously the not guilty verdict and then getting reinstated back into Wisconsin. So everybody's worried about when he is going to play. Do you get the sense that he's going to be available in the first couple of games, or do you think this is going to, first of all, I think it's good for the offense, but do you think he's going to be available in, say, three games down the road, or when?
Well, I think he had been in the program. It's not like he had to learn a new offense. Nothing's changed. And it sounds like he's kept himself in great shape and everything like that. I think a much bigger question is will he be eligible to play academically? I'm not sure what he did second semester last year, I'm not really privy to his academic record. How far was he ahead of pace so that he could take a semester off and still be eligible? Or did he take some classes at some other school last year, second semester? I just have no idea what that entails. They've kind of cryptically said he's not clear or his eligibility is in question with the NCAA. If he's not, I would suggest the NCAA might do the right thing and make him immediately eligible since, he was indeed cleared of all charges.
So give me your thoughts on this season. And some people say it's probably fair to say maybe an 8-win season. I know you don't get into the predictions a ton, but they got a pretty tough schedule. They've got some new players. Obviously, the quarterback situation, I think it's getting at least a little bit clearer. But a lot of what-ifs, I guess, with this team this year, correct?
Yeah, there's what-ifs. There's been a huge changeover in personnel from the 2017 team. There's like 15 guys from that 2017 team in NFL camps right now. There's been a huge turnover. But, it's a good, solid program that recruits not at the level of Michigan and Ohio State, certainly, but at a decent level, and it's a great developmental program. None of that's changed, so I think there's players here. I have a sneaking suspicion they're going to be a better team than they were last year, but I'm not sure it's going to be reflected in the record because they have a really, really tough schedule.
Yeah, we kind of went through that the other day, and I thought eight wins, nine if you're lucky, and then, the possibility of, say, an Outback Bowl or something like that probably wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. They get ranked 19th. Do you think that's too high?
Well, I think it's a sign of respect for Wisconsin as a program that they can come off a down year and still be ranked. I think 20 years ago, if they were coming off a down year, they wouldn't have gotten even a sniff of a boat or anything. So I think it's a sign of respect that there's been a good program that's developed here. It's, one of, I think they've had, last 10 years, 106 wins, or I don't even know. But, that probably ranks 5th, 6th, 7th in the country. I mean, that's, we don't necessarily seem to think that way around here, but it's been a pretty elite level program. Not saying it's a Clemson or an Alabama, or anything like that, but it's been a pretty high level program, and I think that ranking certainly reflects that. Now, I do think they're going to be a better team. I've liked Jack Cohn since the first time I saw him. I thought he had potential. I thought he came from a very small school out on Long Island, not a football school, not a football conference. And I thought I saw good feet, good quick arm action, a lot of that stuff, but a kid who probably had a long way to go. And I was never one who thought Graham Mertz was going to walk in here and start right away. I thought Paul Chryst would opt for experience, which Jack Cohn has, and I think Jack Cohn has a chance to be a pretty decent quarterback.
The one thing nobody talks about, you talk about kicker, you talk about, the replacement of Gaglianone. How big of a change is that going to be? He didn't have a great season, his typical season last year. It's a little bit of a down year, but how much different is it going to be this year?
He was not dependable last year, and, I mean, he,
I hate to run the kid down. He's a great kid, and just a delight to be around. And he had a terrific career at Wisconsin, but he did not end on a good note. And you know, sometimes when you're replacing really good players, you at any level, you go on their reputation as opposed to how they performed. Well, you know, I think it's conceivable they could have been improved at kicker this year without him, and I wouldn't have said that prior to last season because I thought he was a really reliable kicker. But he just didn't have a very good year, and he failed several times in the clutch, or their season might have been a little different last year. So I as big a shoes as those are to fill, I'm not sure they're quite as big as we think they are because of the season he had last year.
By the way, we're talking with Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal. I want to go up to Green Bay real quick. Give me your thoughts on everybody's paying attention to the dynamic of Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. I think it's been overdone. I think it's been overspoken. I'm more concerned about the fact that the offense is being beaten by the defense. They're still installing stuff. Guys still really aren't quite sure where they're supposed to be at certain times. I know Matt LaFleur likes to be a hands-on guy, and I know the leg, the Achilles, has kind of been a little bit inhibitive for him. But overall, how do you think camp has gone?
Well, I think there have been a few tackling issues, but other than that, I think you have to be impressed with what they've done on defense, both personnel-wise and now in the second year under Mike Patton, just the versatility that they have on defense and the flexibility to do all kinds of different things with the personnel additions. I think you have to be impressed with the defense overall in this camp. The offense, I think people expected it would be a work in progress, that it wouldn't be snapping your fingers and, you know, have instant understanding of the offense and have everything be smooth. But it's to the point now where I think you need to start worrying because it just hasn't seemed to come together in any way, shape, or form, and not sure how they're going to get there. You know, the Oilers, or the Texans, excuse me, have come and gone. The exhibition games are being used for evaluation, not of starting players, but of the rest of the roster. I'm not really sure exactly where they're going to make up that ground here a couple of weeks before the regular season starts. So I think it's at a pretty critical stage right here, and there's a lot of angst, and you know, I think at this point there should be some angst because it just hasn't clicked in any way that anyone has seen.
I watched the other night. I was really anticipating a different year from Jimmy Graham, and what I saw out of Jimmy Graham the other night, that dude is slow. His better years are far in the rearview mirror, in my opinion. Do you think he's going to be a positive offensively for this team at all?
No, I think he can be a positive. I don't think he's ever going to be a difference maker. You know, he wasn't a horrible player last year. He just wasn't Jimmy Graham, and he'll never be Jimmy Graham. I don't think they're in a position where they can run off a player like that. I guess it's possible if they really like the young guys, but maybe if Sternberger was in his second year, that, you know, Jimmy Graham might be expendable, but I don't really see that happening. And I don't know that he's ever, like I said, I don't think he's ever going to be a great player again, but he certainly can be a helpful player, and he's a veteran, and you know, I do think LaFleur is going to use the tight ends, and McCarthy paid that a lot of lip service, but it never really happened very much during the season. So I think LaFleur will use the tight ends more. So I think he's certainly a serviceable player at this point. Probably not worth the dollars he's making, but still a serviceable player.
Talking with Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal. Before I let you go, defensively speaking, I don't know what to make of it. I think maybe Kenny Clark can be that type of a Pro Bowler. I don't know other Pro Bowlers that would be on this defense, but I think for the first time in a while, it's at least formidable. I'm not going to say it's good or it's top 10 because some people are predicting that. I just don't believe that yet. It's more like show it to me before I want to believe it. But do you think this is going to be a lot better, a little better? I mean, I still don't know how this is all going to come together. I do know they have some talent, though.
They have talent. I think Jair Alexander's a budding Pro Bowler. I certainly think Kenny Clark is bordering on an elite NFL defensive lineman at a really critical position. I think that Darius Smith is going to have a really good year under Mike Pettine. I think Mike Pettine will use him really well. From what I've seen of Darnell Savage, I think he's a future star. I think he's a really smart player. And really, what I saw on the practice field a couple times were plays that I haven't seen made since Nick Collins was around, and just having that kind of physical ability. So I certainly think there was a nice influx of talent. Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, those are veteran guys who have started in the league, who have performed at a high level in the league, who have won in the league. I don't see how you go wrong by adding guys like that onto the field. So I'm a little skeptical on Rashawn Gary. Have been, you know, I saw some play in college. But I certainly think if they can get inside that head and turn all that athletic ability into a great football player, which is, I think is possible, they're going to have something. I'm not sure it's going to be this year. But I just think there's a lot more talent to work with on defense. And, you know, people have forgotten about Josh Jackson because he hasn't practiced. But he's a second-round draft pick who was a terrific player at Iowa, and I haven't given up on that guy either. So I do think there's some talent. It would certainly be nice if Kenny King could get healthy. Kevin King.
Yeah.
It would certainly be nice because I think he's another guy who has big-time talent. Now, we certainly haven't seen it because of injuries, but if they could get 16 starts out of him, you'd have to really like their corners because I think the guy's got talent. So I do. I guess there's a lot of talent there, and it's the second year in Mike Patton's system, and I expect a significant jump. I don't know if it's top 5 or 10 or whatever, but I certainly expect a significant jump.
I'm hoping so. Tom, it's always good to talk to you and pick your brain. I certainly appreciate it, okay?
All right, Bill, anytime.
All right, buddy, talk to you soon. There you go, Tom Oates of the Wisconsin State Journal joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it on. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. Don't forget, after the top of the hour, Adam McAlvey at Brewers.com and MLB.com. He's going to be joining us, so make sure you stay tuned for that. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Thanks, Mike Clemens. And dropping inside the Brewers clubhouse. Craig Counsell last night on Yelich getting intentionally walked to load the bases. I would, too. Here it is.
You got Christian Yelich. So, no. I mean, it's, you know, that's what, you know, happens from time to time. And it's maybe, you know, analytically not the best play. But when he's hit a ton of homers against the team, I understand it.
Yeah, I understand it, too, because the guy's just been on fire. Also, you've got the Davies. He had an incredible start.
Zach pitched very well. I thought there was real crispness to his stuff. I thought his changeup was excellent. I thought he located his fastball really well. I was really encouraged by how he pitched. I thought he pitched beautifully, really.
And also you've got to the Brewers, and just got to continue to be better. That's it.
It was hot. It was long games, but that doesn't really, matter mentally for us. You got to come out tonight and do whatever you can to win a ball game. That's why we play 162 games. That stuff happens throughout the course of the season, and no excuses. You tip your hat to, you know, what he did tonight.
That's Moose. There you go, Mike Moustakas talking about what Davies did, and obviously Yelich getting walked, and it's all fine and good, but it still didn't mean a win, and the Brewers still continue to struggle. We'll talk more Brewers baseball coming up after the top of the hour. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. He is going to be joining us. Stay tuned for that next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.